Well, a very sobering prediction now. Australia's economy will slow markedly next year, prompting interest rate cuts and a further 20% slump in the value of the Australian dollar. That's the very bearish forecast from the international research firm Rubini Global Economics. It was founded by the renowned US economist Nouriel Roubini, the man who accurately predicted the 2008 US housing market crash that triggered the GFC. The report released this week says a deep slowdown in China and what he describes as poorly timed fiscal austerity by the Abbott government will see Australia's growth slump to below 2% next year. Our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell, speaking to the head of Rubini Global Economics in Asia, Dr. Don Hanna.
We think next year, in addition to the weakening associated with the property sector, that the Chinese government is likely to pursue a lower target for GDP, so a number that will be probably 7% rather than 7.5%, and where the actual outcome will be somewhere lower than 7%. And that is going to be, we think, come on the back of a more concerted effort to slow down credit. We think the reason that hasn't yet happened is that President Xi is consolidating his control over the Communist Party, which he needs in order to be able to weather the pushback that's going to come from the imposition of a greater reforms in the financial sector and the lower GDP that will come from that.
The big risk of, I guess, always of lower growth in China is greater social unrest, though. We've already seen consumer sentiment there fall on growing fears about employment in China. We got another survey on that here yesterday. Do you think the Chinese government, though, will sit on the sidelines and not intervene if growth were to slow quite markedly?
Well, remember that the overall labor force in China is going to begin shrinking next year, so that the level of GDP growth that China needs from the standpoint of overall employment is much, much lower than it would have been, say, 5 or 10 years ago, where you had labor entrants 10 years ago that were in the neighborhood of 9 million new entrants. Today, the problem has more to do with the composition of new entrants rather than their number. There are many more college-educated Chinese entering the market, and they would prefer not to put together iPhones or other electronic products on a factory floor. They're looking for service sector jobs. So it has more to do with the composition of growth than its absolute magnitude. That's the challenge.
You're forecasting growth next year in China of around 6.5%, which is well below the 7.5% they're expecting this year. But what's the chance of then a harder landing for the Chinese economy next year, harder than what you're forecasting, and what would be the implications of that for Australia?
In order to get a lower number, the most likely way that would occur would be a sooner imposition of the financial sector reform, of curbing credit more quickly than we foresee, because the credit crunch that would ensue could easily bring growth down to the levels that we saw back at the end of 2008, when Chinese growth decelerated from about 12% in mid-2007, and it slowed to about 2% at the end of 2008, before it bounced back by mid-2009 to over 16%. So a pattern that would be not quite as abrupt, but relatively abrupt, but also relatively short, is what we think most likely from a financial sector reform and associated credit crunch.
So you don't rate a really hard landing much of a risk?
A really hard landing would require not just a deceleration, but then the unwillingness of the central government to step in and sort out the losses that would be created on bank balance sheets and in the balance sheets of state-owned enterprises. And given that many of the banks have connections to the state or state-owned, that doesn't seem a very likely outcome. In addition, the government itself has very low debt, using official numbers, and 20%, and using the IMF numbers, about 23%. So that's not a high percentage in the global context, and creates plenty of scope for the government itself to absorb losses and to put the financial system on a sounder footing relatively quickly.
Okay, well, returning to Australia, the falling iron ore price because of declining Chinese demand seems to be finally dragging down our currency. It's fallen now to around 88 US cents. So how low do you think the Australian dollar will fall against the greenback?
We ultimately have the Aussie dollar going back down to 75 or lower, but that's an outcome that wouldn't occur, we think, until we get this more definitive slowdown in China, which is something we foresee about a year or towards the end of 2015. Before that time, you'll get some modest depreciation, more dramatic when there's more dramatic events in China that, again, alter the export outlook and the terms of trade for Australia.
And you say in your report, when that does happen, that there will be scope for the Reserve Bank to cut interest rates further, maybe down to 2%. Now, as you would be aware, this is, again, contrary to what most economists are saying here. They say rates will have to rise next year, partly to rein in the booming property market. Are you as concerned as even the RBA about the rapid rise in house prices right now? I mean, the RBA issued yesterday another warning to borrowers about the risks.
It is a problem. We've also got the underlying weakness in investment and activity that create a conundrum for the RBA, the solution to which is to use the interest rates to try and deal with the level of economic activity outside of the housing sector and macroprudential regulations to tighten those to try and deal with housing prices and the potential for an asset bubble in housing.
You also rate as a big risk to the Australian economy the federal government's here's planned fiscal tightening, which your report describes as poorly timed. You may be aware that the government is having a very difficult time getting its harsher budget measures through the parliament right now. Would you say then that that's probably a good thing?
Yes, I'd say that's probably a good thing. Obviously, the objective of a fiscal balance is a sensible one. The poor timing has to do with our beliefs about the external environment rather than saying, look, moving towards fiscal balance in and of itself is a bad idea, because it isn't. It's a good idea. It's just the pace and time if you do that.
Dr. Don Hanna is the head of Rubini Global Economics in Asia, speaking from London with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.